name's Alex Tomlinson, and
hello.
I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One and Other Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 21st of July 2009. If you could kindly state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
My name is Margaret Hughes, I'm 42 and I'm from Glasgow.
And how are you today?
I'm very well today, thank you.
So, how did you initially hear about the project?
I think I initially heard about it on Channel 4 News, and it was quite a long time before I think the website went live, and I thought it was such a fantastic idea, and in the back of my mind I thought it would be really good to just take part in something like that. And then obviously the date was publicised that the website would go live and you could register, and I registered I think a few days after. It just slipped my mind, and then I remembered about it. And I registered quite early on, I think, yeah.
So what initially inspired you to put yourself forward?
I quite liked the idea that it was an art project that involved people, and it was quite inclusive. And we very rarely in our, just our everyday walks of life, most of us very rarely get the chance to be creative and artistic. And we tend to think that art is something that hangs on walls or stands in museums or galleries and things like that. And I just thought it would, I thought it would be such fun. I just thought that would be such a nice thing to do, because obviously there are a very limited number of people who are going to get the chance to do it. And I just thought that to take part would be just a nice thing to do during the summer. I thought it would be just a really nice memory for myself and for my family. And then obviously the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, if I were to be chosen to do it, I would also want it to be something meaningful. And that's when I decided that I would like to do something to promote the work of the Anthony Nolan Trust.
Can you tell me a little bit about the trust?
Yeah, the Anthony Nolan Trust is a charity which maintains the register of bone marrow donors in the UK and works with partner similar organisations worldwide. I've been involved in fundraising and volunteering with the trust since the early 1990s. I've been on the register since the early 1990s. I've never been chosen to be a donor, although obviously being on the register I would be very happy to be chosen as a donor. And the trust exists really to offer hope to families of victims of leukaemia who do not have within their own family a match for a bone marrow donor. Now, my mum, Mary Hughes, had leukaemia, and unfortunately she died 20 years ago. Now, she was in the fortunate position that she had matches within her own family. And I think really what resonates with myself and with the rest of my family is that some degree of anxiety was taken out of the whole trauma, because we knew there was two or three people within the family who could be a match for her. But to be in that terrifying position of having a loved one have leukaemia and not to have a match within your family must add to the stress immensely. And so really since my mum died, we've been involved with the trust quite actively. My young sister, when she left university, actually went to work for the Anthony Nolan Trust, and she's one of the regional fundraising managers in Scotland. My sister, my brother and I, we've taken part in the London Marathon, the Edinburgh Marathon. We do runs, we do cycles, we do hill walks, and we hold social events. So it's a cause that we feel quite passionate about. And it would have been, I think really when I got the place on the plinth, it just felt really important that, that I just do it. You know, I like the idea that this was art, it was quite inclusive, that involved people, but also wanted it to have meaning, to be something that we would get a message across. Because I don't really want this just to be about me. I want it to be about me actually being doing something worthwhile for that hour. And I have to say, I mean, having done the marathons in the 10Ks, as much as I'm absolutely terrified of heights and feel quite nervous about going on the plinth, it's a lot easier than running around London for 5.5 or 6 hours. So it's quite important to me that that people who go by this afternoon, if one person who passes through the square or watches the live stream or even watches it, you know, on playback, if one person were to join the trust's register, they could potentially save somebody's life. Now, we will never know if that happens, but if it does happen, that would be, I think, possibly the most meaningful contribution that for me this sort of project could make. And I just love that notion that art can play a role in lots of different facets of our lives. I really like that idea.
Mm-hmm. So what initially triggered your interest in the trust?
What initially triggered my interest was probably, I think the trust held an event. They held a donor clinic in the centre of Glasgow in George Square, and they were looking for people to go along, and I think they advertised in local newspaper, and myself and my two sisters went along, and we gave our samples of blood, and we went on the register, and we just found out more about them, and we started to take part in events. The trust was still very new in Scotland then, and it was really just quite good fun. I think it's, you know, when it's a story that is so personal, and when you meet people who have been in a situation that you've been in, I think it probably resonates a lot more, and you can empathise. We meet lots of people who need the help of the Anthony Nolan Trust, who need a bone marrow donor for one of their loved ones. And I have met people whose mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, sons and daughters have been waiting, and some of them have found a donor and some of them haven't, and it's a very humbling experience, but it's also something I think that I can understand the helplessness. And I think that one of the things, when you are in a situation like that, you want to do something to help, and for some people it is running the London Marathon. You know, certainly for us, I think, you know, for myself and my family, who you know, we fundraise. My sister at the moment, my older sister Helen, she's going to run 2 half marathons in 2 weeks in September, the Great Scottish Run and the Great North Run, and she's training really hard at the moment. We're fundraising for her, and I really think that our motivation is really there for the grace of God, because that could be anyone in that situation. And it really just is a charity that is very, very close to our hearts, and we really admire the work that they do. So it would have been, I think, quite remiss of me to have gone on the plinth and done anything else today. I had lots of ideas initially. Oh, I would read some fantastic work, or you know, I would paint a picture, or I would, actually one of my initial ideas was I was going to try and knit a scarf and see how much I could knit while I was there. It wouldn't have been a particularly big scarf, but I just fancied the idea, you know, and I thought, I'll do something that's, you know, I just want to do just for 1 hour. And then I thought, no, I won't. That would just be, for me, it might have been quite good fun, and I might have come off the plinth and thought, oh, that was quite good, and felt quite self-congratulatory. But I think today, as much as I feel quite nervous about it, and I do, I hope it works well. I hope the trust gets some good response from the people in the square, from the people watching. I will feel as if it's just one more thing that we can hopefully do to help, just to help publicise their work and what they do, which is ultimately to save people's lives. So you know, hopefully it'll it will be quite positive.
And so you've been through this experience yourself?
Mm-hmm. No, my mum had leukemia.
Okay.
And she didn't need a bone marrow donor. She had two brothers who were perfect matches. But unfortunately, her illness progressed really quickly and she died before she was ever able to receive a bone marrow transplant. But I know very many families through the work of the trust who at the moment are either waiting to find a match, who have found a match, or unfortunately their loved one died before they could ever receive a donor. So, you know, I've met people who have been in all the different situations you could be in. And I know how important the work and the support that the trust provides to them is. So this is just a really small thing to do in comparison with what these people are going through. So my experience was not of needing the trust from that perspective, because thankfully our family didn't. Because we had a match in the family. But over the years I've got to know people who very much need the help of the trust. They need to find someone who's not related to them, who perhaps lives on the other side of the world, that will be on a bone marrow register either here in the UK or somewhere else in the world, and that person will ultimately save their lives. So it's having met people, and this is their stories, this is their lives, this is what they live with every day. So that's...
And your mother's experience, what kind of effect do you think that's had on you?
I was only 22 when my mum died. So obviously I had just finished university. My sister had just finished university. My sister's a very successful solicitor, a university lecturer now. My younger brother had just left school. My youngest sister was only a child. She was only 13. And, you know, my mum didn't get to see us forge our careers. She didn't get to see any of the successes that we had. She didn't get to see my sister getting married. She didn't get to see her grandchildren. So obviously every experience that you have is tinged with that. And I think probably the effect it had on me was that it makes me stop and think quite carefully sometimes about what I'm doing. It does make me think and make me realise how important life is. And I think probably what it makes me think is when you get an opportunity, you know, you need to grasp it. And I think something like this today, you know, had she been alive today, she would have been in London with me, because she would have just thought this was a fantastic idea. One of my mum's sisters, my aunt, Trisha, she's 60 and she still does fundraising for the trust, and she will do things like ab sales and bike rides, and because again she just feels this family link. So I think, you know, I think when you lose a parent when you're really young, it has a really profound effect on you. I think it has, you know, it's touched our lives probably in a way that even now I probably can't articulate particularly well. But it certainly, I think, if, you know, if we were to think, did anything positive come out of the whole experience? I think it probably has been that, you know, we were lucky enough to find the Anthony Nolan Trust and be able to do work for them, because in some way it makes you feel as if at least you're doing something. At least the money that you helped to raise might prevent another family being in the situation that we were in, which is losing somebody to leukemia or to any illness, but particularly to leukemia. Mm-hmm.
And can I just go back to what we were actually doing on the plinth?
Mm-hmm.
What are your ideas?
Okay, so we batted this around for weeks, and it was quite challenging because we obviously wanted to do something which had impact. And I did say to the Anthony Nolan Trust that I just couldn't do anything that was too outlandish, that involved moving around too much, because I don't particularly like heights. I don't particularly want to move about very much. But the idea they've come up with, I think, is quite a good fun idea. It's based on, you know, the kids' game, Simon Says. And we've got some boards, and basically it's the Anthony Nolan Trust Says, and it's asking people to do different things, to dance, to jump, to run, to walk, to cycle, to pretend they're cycling, to skip, hop, a variety of different things. But what each of the boards also is reflecting is something that relates to the work of the trust. So there are some that are quite odd, because there's one that says Anthony Nolan Says Register. And obviously the big message that the Anthony Nolan Trust wants to get across is that they need people to join their register. They particularly need men, and they particularly need people from ethnic minorities. So we need, I need to think quite creatively about, you know, how am I going to represent that up on the plinth? And I'm still thinking that through, with probably about half an hour to go. And it's really just to get people in the event, standing on the square, to just get involved and move around a bit. Now, the additional idea that they've come up with as well, which I think is quite good fun, is that everyone who takes part is taking part on their own mini plinth. They've got 100 crates, which I think they've painted white. I don't know, I've not actually seen any of them yet. And so everyone who's taking part is on their own little plinth as well, which I think visually will look quite good. And I think it's quite a clever idea, and hopefully Anthony Gormley won't mind the fact that they've kind of pinched his idea just for 1 hour. And hopefully it won't make me feel just as lonely standing up on the plinth. So we just really hope that people will be on their own little mini plinths, and will just be doing the actions that I'm shouting out from the main plinth. And it's really just to raise awareness, just to get people to notice. And hopefully, you know, it sounds as if it's going to be a mini workout, and which was something I was actually hoping to avoid, because I think I'm going to need to move it around a lot more than I was planning to. But really it is just to get people moving about and have a bit of fun and create a bit of energy, and hopefully people going by will say, oh, what's that? What's going on over there? And come over and find out more. And there will be people who work for the Anthony Nolan Trust who will be giving out flyers, I believe, or be there to provide information to anyone, certainly to point them in the direction of the Anthony Nolan website, so that they can find out more about fundraising. And there's a whole range of different events. Some of the events they do are fantastic. You know, you can, you know, climb to the Everest base camp, or you can, you know, you can cycle across Cuba. You can do Kilimanjaro, or you can maybe just do a 5K in a local park. So there's a huge range of events, or you can go to one that they have, you know, a range of balls that they have. They've one in Scotland, they've one in London each year, and it's a fantastic opportunity to get dressed up and go out and just have a really nice evening. So they have a whole different range of events that people can find out more about and about taking part in too. So hopefully they can point people in the direction of their website, and people can find out more from that point of view as well.
So what are your hopes and fears for your outlook?
My hope is that somebody, as a result of this hour, joins the register and saves somebody's life. That would be my hope, and I might never know. I probably will never know if that happens, but if that happened, that would just be fantastic. My fears are that I'm going to fall. The rain is going to be really, really heavy, and I'll be completely soaked. My fears are, I suppose, maybe that nobody turns up, but I'm sure that's not the case. I think that there will be at least 60 or 70 people there, at least, I hope, taking part. But besides that, you know, my anxiety is just purely personal, that I'll slap, or that I'll fall, or that I'll run out of things to say, which is quite staggering, because I lecture, and some of my students would probably say, you know, it's okay, Margaret, you can talk at great length. You don't have to worry about speaking for an hour. We've heard you going for 2 or 3 hours. But I'm kind of concerned that maybe I just run out of things to say. Hopefully that won't happen.
Can I just ask you a little bit about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? So you're a lecturer?
Yeah, I'm a lecturer in journalism at University of the West of Scotland, which is in a town, the campus I work on is a town called Hamilton. And I have taught journalism there for 10 years. And before that, I was a journalist since I left university. So I don't really do any freelance journalism anymore because I don't have time. Because running a university department takes up so much time that I just don't have time to be a practitioner anymore. And I live in Glasgow. And I live alone in a new house which I just bought last year, which I absolutely love, which is quite nice. And I have a little balcony, and I was standing out on it. We decided a few weeks ago, when I was quite concerned about the plinth, my sister said, stand on your balcony and practice, but the balcony felt quite comfortable and safe. So what else? Well, what else do you want to know?
Journalism, what role has that played in your life?
I suppose it's played an important role. I mean, I've been writing since I was 16. I worked in the, I knew I did stuff with the local paper. I worked in student paper when I was at Glasgow University. I did a postgrad in journalism at University of Cardiff. Went into magazine journalism, predominantly business type journalism. And I'm not really, I mean, I was always, I always call it sort of a journalism in the comfort zone, because I was a features writer. I wasn't a hard news reporter. That never appealed to me. I worked on business magazines. I did feature writing for a range of different newspapers in Scotland. I enjoyed writing. I think that, and one of the reasons I absolutely love the job that I've got, I just love it. And one of the things that I tell my students is that being a journalist is just the best job you could ever do. I don't know that I would want to do it again. And it's very odd to be getting asked the questions from you at the moment, when my experience is very much doing it the other way. I suppose journalism plays an important role because it's, you know, I spend a lot of time talking about it, reading it, watching it. I have a lot of friends who are journalists. I suppose, you know, being a journalist isn't how I make my living any longer, but it was for quite a long time. I suppose that whole notion of the press and the importance of a free press, and you know, the huge sort of a tumultuous change that the news industry is through at the moment is of great interest to me. But would I go back into journalism? Absolutely not. I don't think it's for me any longer. I very much enjoy teaching. It's been quite interesting to go from having been a journalist to being somebody who teaches, which I would never have thought I would do, and the job happened quite by accident. But it has become actually probably far more of a vocation than journalism ever was. It's good fun. I take it quite seriously. I take it very seriously, actually. You know, we have young people who come to us with hopes, dreams, aspirations, and it's very much my job to help them achieve that. So I take that aspect of my job really seriously. And I also think it's just quite good fun, which is quite important.
And so what do you specialise in when you're at school?
When I was at school.
Oh, but you're not teaching?
No, I'm a university lecturer.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a university lecturer. So we teach a range of journalism programmes at the University of the West of Scotland, which is where I teach. And we teach, you know, it's old fashioned to say journalism, because we don't just teach print journalism any longer. But we have a journalism course, we have a sports journalism course, and we have a broadcast journalism postgraduate. So we're teaching, you know, really the whole breadth of what people have to know to go into the news media. So it's a really exciting time to be teaching it, because it's undergoing so much change at the moment. We haven't really updated our skills in terms of myself and most of my colleagues are very much newspaper journalists. our broadcast journalists, and we're having to very quickly get used to all aspects of new media, which is quite exciting and quite terrifying at the same time. But you know, we send our students out with far more skill, probably technical skills, than we ever had 20, 25 years ago whenever I left university. So it's good, it's a very rewarding job, and it's fantastic. Graduation day is always one of the best days. When students get jobs, it's fantastic. When they sell a story and they bring the cutting in with their byline, it's always really exciting. When they get jobs on newspapers, and they keep in touch, lots of our students keep in touch with us. Yeah, it's good fun. It's rewarding. It's very rewarding, and it's really good fun. That's the most important thing.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.